Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited to dive into Monday.
Oh, yeah. A little emotional abuse Monday with Real Housewives of Atlanta. Fun times.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Tonight is Take a Seat. That's our live show over on Spotify Live. It's an app. You can get it. It's free. Basically, we just talk about Bravo Goss, whatever we feel like, really, whatever you feel like, because you're pretty much in charge of that night. You come there, you talk to each other, you talk to us. We bring you up for about a minute to tell us who needs to take a seat. That's a fun one. It's every Monday night. It's at 7 p.m. Pacific and 10 p.m. Eastern. So join us, won't you? So that's Mondays. And then we do videos, a couple video recaps every week. So we'll be doing that this week. Of course, we're going to be doing a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills premiere recap on video, which is going to be super fun, and probably a Jersey. I don't know. We haven't decided the other one yet, but those are both on Patreon, Crappens on Demand, as well as our bonus episodes. This week, Top Chef is moved to bonus. So check it out there. It's Top Chef in Space.
Yeah. That's going to be a really good one to do. I'm already excited to do that recap. But first, before we even get to that, we got Real Housewives of Atlanta for its second episode of the season.
Yep. Here we go. Yep. All aboard. I thought you were going to say something else. I was like,
I didn't know. I brought you to the cliff and then I said, good luck.
Just stay at that cliff. All aboard the Gaslight Express is the episode title today.
Was that what that was the name of the episode?
Yeah.
Bravo. That's very funny because it's 100% true. By the way, last week, I don't think we spoke about the taglines on Atlanta. So I wrote them down this time. Did you write them down by any chance?
Because if not, of course. What do you think? Okay. I don't do my homework. Of course, I wrote them down.
So we start with Candy, who says, "I ain't never skipped a beat or a bag."
I mean, okay, Candy's just like, I'm rich and I work a lot. You know, that's hers.
I know, that's basically what it is. I sing, I'm rich, I work a lot. What else do you need to know?
Yeah. And then Drew, I keep you on the edges of your seat. Okay. You know what? Imagine having your intro line being about a hair transplant surgery. Like, is that really what you want to go with?
Also, it's like a wordplay on a lot. Yeah, exactly. That is actually what she would go with, plugs. She's plugging everything she can right now. But like she would have a lie as like, I keep you on the edges of your seat. You literally do not keep us, even if it was just the edge of our seat, you do not keep us there. Like literally the least suspenseful thing in life is wondering what Drew Sidora is ever up to.
We don't even care about your edges. Okay. Yes. Your edges don't even keep us on the edge of our seats.
You're like a big open field. There may be edges. We don't know. We don't care. We're in a field.
Marlo's really, yeah, I think so. Marlo is really into it this year. She's giving it her all with everything. She's like, I've always had the juice, but now I got the peach. Okay. You know, congratulations.
She's like a hipster during the height of COVID who's like, you know, I've always liked peach juice, but now I've decided I'm going to grow peaches to make my own peach juice.
In my living room with hydroponics.
Yeah. And then Kenya, she goes, you're always living in the moment when you are the moment.
And then Sheree, spring, summer, or September. I'm the one you always remember. And I like the rhyme, you know?
I like it, too.
I'm into the rhyme. I'm into the whole fantastics of it all.
You know? Yeah. I feel like she should be holding, like, a giant book of spells. Like, it sounds very much like a magic spell from a musical, right? Like, spring, summer, or September, I'm the one you always remember. And then she, like, throws something at the floor and smoke comes up and she transforms into some other thing.
Yes. And I like that she follows Kenya up with another timeline, you know, because Kenya's is like, I am a moment. And Sheree's like, time doesn't matter. And I'm like, wow, you're even shady to Kenya in your lines without really knowing it, you know?
Yeah. And then Sonia's like, I may be a rookie, but this isn't my first race. which I think that's a pretty good opening line. I'm happy for Sonia, but I think I'm also predisposed to liking most things she does because I instantly loved her right off the bat. So
Look, I know she hasn't been on for very long, but I need her tagline to be about patties because
I know
it's already a fight that I'm never gonna forget. It's like burned into my brain already.
I was cracking up, like just starting with a patty forward discussion. Like I was like, this is everything I need.
Yes. So speaking of, we start with Sonia, and she's just gotten her pots delivered from someplace. And so she's showing off her pots to her mom. And her mom's like, well, beyond pot, we brought some jerk sauce from Jamaica. And her sister Sherry's there now, who we haven't met yet. Sherry and the mom are not having each other in a very loving way, which I could really, you know, I loved. I relate to that.
Yeah, I just want to say, I don't want to gloss over Sonia's excitement about the pot set, because like that to me was so real, because I think we've all had some form of a pot set that's arrived and we've gotten all so excited. Like when she went like running to her foyer, be like, my pot set is here. I was like, oh, I get it. And she was unpacking and there was like ladles and there was like spaghetti spoons and different pots. I was like, I understand her joy right now, like on a deep level. And I just don't want that to get lost in our recap.
Well, I think that her joy was fake because we find out that she doesn't really cook. And like no one there really cooks a lot. They always order in. And I thought that that was so telling because she, this part was telling when she's like, I got my pot set. I'm so excited. And then she holds up her favorite one and it's a little individual frying pan. Yeah. Everybody with the pot set knows that is some bullshit. Okay. Yes. No one likes those. I don't care. And look, we're going to get people saying, I love them. I use mine. No, you don't. You don't love it. And if you're using it, you're forcing yourself to, because you're telling yourself it's small enough to clean quickly. Those are the most frustrating pan in the set. I have to say,
I'm very fortunate in the tiny pan. I'm very fortunate that my pot set never had one of those. So I never had to live in that frustration. Although I've seen those at the store. It's like, you know how like Lodge, who makes the cast iron skillets, has like a tiny cast iron skillet like that. And I'm like, what the fuck is that for? You're going to like sear like a bite of meat. So I do get why they're annoying. But I feel like with a pot set, it's not about like whether or not you cook. It's about the promise of cooking. It's about the promise that there will be food or that there might be like a renaissance in your kitchen. I think getting a new pot set's very exciting, even with a stupid, stupid, tiny little
Bitterness that I project onto the tiny pan, because the tiny pan is one of those things that people who are married who disapprove of you never dating, they always say to you, why don't you buy one of those tiny pans? They make just one egg. You know, there's like it's like this judgmental, it's concern trolling from people. You know, when people act like they're concerned, but they're really trolling your ass. That's what those tiny pans are to me. That's all I see is, you know, a family member like, wow, have you ever thought of a tiny pan? Lonely person, I support your loneliness with tiny pans. And you're like, oh, just die in a fire, you know. So that's what I think of when I see those tiny pans. Yeah, okay, there's a whole show on today.
Really? I know. I just want to say my final statement is that I don't think a pan has to get smaller than an 8-inch omelet pan. That's what I'm going to say. That's as small as you need to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're making an egg in a tiny pan, it naturally comes out as a circle. It feels like a cheat. Like, if I'm making an egg, I want to use a big pan so people can be like, wow, this egg naturally splattered all over the place, but you still made it a circle. How? How, Ronnie, how? And I can say, well, I have extra time because I'm single and I don't waste my time with husbands. That's how. And then it turns it around to where I have a pride again, you know?
And then as you show them your perfectly circular omelet, you say, spring, summer, September, I'm the one you always remember. And then you disappear in a cloud of smoke.
They're like, oh my God, my husband would love this. Let me send him a picture of it. God damn it.
So anyway,
Sherry, thank you for joining us today. This is a fun egg. This is a fun egg pan discussion.
Well, this podcast is going to get panned by the critics. So anyway, there's 9 people living in this house. So there's Sonia, there's Ross, her husband. Well, her husband's name is, I think, Aaron, but his last name is Ross, but they all call him Ross. So there's Ross.
I love that you're so hung up on that. Like, have you never been to the South? That's hey, Karam. Well, I guess that doesn't happen a lot to me.
No, but I have been in a fraternity, so I get it. You know, yeah. Everything is like Mandelker. So then, so there's Sonia, there's Ross, there's their son, Deuce, there's the mom and the dad. Now there's Sherry, the sister, Sherry's husband, and their two kids. So they are just like working on building their sitcom as they speak.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. And she's got the whole like it takes a village thing, you know, because she wants her family to stay because they help so much with the, you better pay me taxes. If you're my village, you better pay me some fucking taxes. I'm telling you that because I don't even get to use this tiny pan anymore. Okay. It's too many of you. I'll be in here all night using this tiny pan with all of you.
So you think it's just going to be like a generic, you know, a generic family scene where there's like stupid sort of banter and it's like, huh, wackiness. Aren't we a wacky clan, you know? And it sort of starts off that way because you got the pan set and everything. And then Sonia says like, oh, I want a patty. Okay. Cause her mom's like going into the fridge or she's going to, her mom is holding a patty. She's going to like the microwave or the toaster oven or something like that. So Sonia wants a patty. And all of a sudden we like break into Pattygate 2022.
Yes, and I really love that Sonia breaks Sonia. Sorry, I don't know why I say Sonia. I think Kenya because Tanya, because I used to say Tanya, which was wrong. It was Tanya, and so I see Sonia spelled like Tanya, and I'm like, well, it's Sonia, but no, it's Sonia. Yeah, and I don't want to feel like Kenya, you know. So sorry, that's just a mistake, Sonia. So she, what was I going to say about her? Patty's, hold on, damn it, before I got name fucked, what was I gonna say? Oh, I like that she breaks out in a really thick accent whenever she's arguing or excited.
Yes.
Like her regular line is like, you know, my sister's my hairstylist, my mother's managing me, and having them in Atlanta is everything. Mom, where the patty, Mom? I need the patty.
I know. I love it. I like to make a breakfast. My Jamaican accent so is good. All wonky. I'm gonna
have yeah, to we have terrible. It. Well, I'm not even going to try for a proper one. But yeah, it was cracking me up. She's like, where the patty? I haven't eaten one patty. Where the patty at?
And her mom is like, don't fuck with me. I'm like, her mom's like, I brought these patties here. Okay. I earn patty tax. Okay. So if you're like, if you're going to talk to me about patties, I get a patty every time you talk about patties because I hauled these things. Her mom is not in any mood to talk about patties.
She's so funny and she's so dramatic. You know, she's like, I don't want to be scrutinized. I don't want to be asked questions and I don't want to be told what to do. And the sister's like, what are you going off about? Like, what are you even mad at? And she's like, there didn't need to be a patty conversation.
I know. She's like, and then she's like, she's like, it's not my fault. You ate the patty for breakfast. This is dad is so relaxed.
So like
everyone has their own box of patties. So there's a lot of concern that people are going into other people's boxes of patties.
Yeah, but it is that thing. I mean, I'm Team Sonia here because it is that thing where it's like, oh, look, I brought all the patties and then I ate them all. You know, it's like me bringing Girl Scout cookies. I didn't bring those Girl Scout cookies for you. We all know I bought a carton of that shit for myself, you know? And I'm like, look, everybody, I brought Girl Scout cookies. And then you try and find a Thin Mint and you can't, you know, but I'm burping up chocolate mint over there in the corner.
So the mom is like, she's like, I don't want to be scrutinized and all that stuff. And then Sherry's like, I don't have no problems with you guys. And then the mom is like, well, I just know that I take a patty. And everyone's like, the patties, the patties, the patties.
And Sonia's like, well, listen, if we say one thing, you don't have to take this huge offense to it. Like, you're too mad for this conversation, right? And the mom's like, okay, well, next time I don't bring the patty, then that's it.
You know? I know, she's going to withhold. She's the yeah. Lucille Bluth of patties. She's like, look at me getting off, withholding patties.
I like that we're making her like an Irish lady. Fine, next time I don't bring the patty, we'll see how you deal with it then.
I'm sorry, Below Deck Sailing Yacht is in season, so unfortunately, my dominant accent is Irish, cartoon Irish at the moment. Yes. So,
and then
I
next is Beverly Hills, Dorit, and Dorit doesn't even have an Irish accent in real life, only on this show, so.
No, we're going to be like, top of the morning to you, Kyle!
Kyle, what have you done with my patties?
We should just have the mom talk like Dorit. That would be fun.
So then Sherry, the sister, is like, you know, it's been nice being here, but it's just not my normal yet, you know, because I just went from being a mom at my own home with my own space. And the mom's like, well, wasn't that all of us? You know, like, you're not the only one. And she's like, yeah. But she asked me how I'm feeling, mother, okay? And that's why I answered with my feelings. And she's like, oh, yes, you're the only one without your own space. Look at you.
I know. I love the mom just like not letting her daughter try to have this reality TV moment of it's just hard. She's like, oh, it's hard for all of us.
So good. That Sonya is really good casting.
Oh, my God. I'd love her. I wish there was more of her in this episode. So then we go to our first visit to Chateau Charest of the season. We had some like echoey flashbacks of Charest. Oh, by the way, just as a shout out, in case you missed it, last week we had a really super fun episode with Carlos King. So if you missed it, it's on our feed. So if you're like, you know, we talk a lot about Atlanta and other housewives, but that's, I thought of it because he loves Charest and Charest was on his show recently. So go check that out if you missed it. But anyway, we are here in Chateau Charest and it's the music is like all fancy, like Chateau Charest. And then it cuts to her putting out like some really shitty, you know, bakery aisle treats from the grocery store. Like this is not from a fancy bakery. This is the thing that's like next to the display of Entenmann's. And hey, by the way, if someone puts out a display of Entenmann's for me, I'm very happy with it. But I just
I was love gonna it. Say I'm over here, my neck is all, my head is all the way back on my neck right now.
Well, either way, it was just like funny. It was like the Charest, her fancy Chateau Charest, and then just putting out like some generic donut holes.
Well, it's even better because it's for Kenya, because she's like, mom, Kenya's coming over. And Thelma says, oh, does Kenya eat sweets? She goes, nope. She's skinny as hell right now. She's not eating anything.
Yeah.
And that's the person that you put the croissants out for, you know?
Well, that's my old trick, by the way, which is like, I put out a spread that I'm not making it for me. I'm making it for someone else because, you know, I'm having company over and people take two bites and then, oh no, I have leftovers. I guess I got to eat this. I don't want to waste anything.
Yeah. And you feel less guilty because a croissant has been sitting out. So it's like, well, it's just going to waste.
Yeah.
So Kenya comes over and they go down to the basement and laugh because, of course, they got in a huge fight when this basement was unfinished and Kenya snuck down there. And Charest's like, Kenya hasn't been in my basement since bitch went creeping during my housewarming. And we see that clip, which is classic. And so she can't wait to show this bitch her basement. So they go down and Kenya is in I'm being nice mode. So she's like, I love it. It's so comfy. Ah!
Yeah, Charest's done that thing where she's made like a club in her basement. And I just don't understand this concept because we see this a lot in on like reality TV or like in mansions where people are like, oh, yeah, in the basement, there's a club. I'm like, who's going clubbing in your basement? I don't understand this concept. Is this just what you do if you're just like away from a city and you're just like you just want to spice it up for when friends come over? Because I understand like a big comfy basement with a big TV and like a all sorts of fun stuff. But like actually setting up a club in the basement, I just don't get it.
I mean, I had couches, so that works for me. Call it whatever you need to. There's couches and a TV and another kitchen. So do what you gotta do.
It's like I'm married to medicine when Cecil has his little bar in his basement. You know, it's like Cecil's bar. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, the man bar, the man cave or whatever they call it. So let's see. Why do they have full windows in this basement? That's my question. Is it still a basement if it's not in the basement?
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things where like one half the basement's sort of basement-y because it's like in the, it's like a hillside probably, right?
Oh, so
like
okay.
One half is like in the hill and then the other half is like, there's windows, surprise!
All right. Okay. But I loved it. I was like, love the sunlight in your basement, which just felt weird to say. So they start, you know, talking and Charest is saying how happy Kenya looks and she does really, and I think it's thinness too because Kenya is in great shape because of Dancing with the Stars and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think when you're, I know that if I lose 2 pounds people are like, Ronnie, are you happy? I'm like, no, yeah. I'm miserable. I've lost 2 pounds, you know. I mean, when I'm really happy people think I'm angry, you know. When I'm happy I'm fat. I mean, when I'm happy I'm fat, okay? That's when I'm really happy. When I'm thinner, that's when there's some misery in my life. But you know, people just want to say something, so they say, oh my god, you look so happy.
Yeah. So Kenya's trying to stir up some shit, so she's like asking Charest what she thinks about the gala, what she thought about Marlo's gala and everything. And Charest's like, I could have worn my joggers. I mean, she started talking about how when you first got there you lived in an apartment with a white
fridge?
And Kenya's like, well, what's wrong with a white refrigerator? At least I could pay my rent. What else did she have to say? By the way, you know that Kenya would be the first one to shade someone with a white refrigerator if she didn't already have a white refrigerator in her past.
Yes. And Sheree's like, well, you had to rent somebody's Range Rover, Lisa Ray? Lisa Ray? And she's like, I don't even know Lisa Ray. Well, I mean, I do because she's famous, but I don't know her like enough to take a Range Rover. And then we see pictures of her and Lisa Ray. And she's like, well, I think I misheard. So let's go, Sonia. So they do. They FaceTime her and they ask her what Marla was saying. And Sonia's like, white refrigerator, somebody else's townhouse. It's kind of all I'm remembering right now. The rest is all Patty to me. Okay.
She's like, we're having a Patty shortage here, so I really can't talk about this right now. So Kenya's talking about Marlo, and she goes, well, I mean, Marlo, I mean, she dragged poor Drew over her little bun, which is, I just love her accusing Marlo of dragging Drew over the bun while also just imbuing that statement with so much shadiness, you know? And then she goes, coming from someone with actual Bosley hair implants, you're talking about a girl with a bun.
And Sheree does her owl laugh, which is my favorite Sheree laugh. Out of all the Sheree laughs, that's my favorite. When she goes, hoo, hoo,
hoo. The owl laugh.
So Kenya is like, that girl has chia pet surgery. Just buy a chia pet and put the seeds on your scalp. A little water, grease, and oil. Get your edges back.
So then Sonia has to hang up. So
Kenya goes, Sonia hangs up and Kenya goes, you know, but I still have love for Marla. And Sheree goes, oh, she loves you too. But she did say you need to power wash your house.
So Sheree is like, by the way, Drew left her phone in a gift bag that I brought back, which is, by the way, so Drew Sidora. How do you leave your phone in a gift bag? I mean, so she left her phone in the gift bag, and then...
But that's also so Sheree to take the gift bag. Like, somebody left a gift bag, so Sheree took it and was like, oh, there's a phone in here.
Yeah. Oh, this is a nice gift. So, like, my Sheree, by the way, has turned into some hybrid of Cynthia and Tom Colicchio. It's like, that's a nice gift. No. So then basically Drew left her phone, and so Drew's assistant had to come by to get the phone, and Kenya's like, oh, well, she told Candy that she and you share an assistant.
And Sheree's not happy that's going around. You know, you see the unhappiness spread over her face. And then we see a clip of Candy being told about this assistant and Drew saying, you know, and she's going through it with the assistant. And then we see a clip of this assistant and his, honey, it's a lovely libation, honey, to keep your taste buds moving and your hips grooving, honey. And Candy, yeah, like looking at him like, shit, like, who the fuck gross. Yeah. Who told you could call me honey, sir?
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Drew telling Candy that Anthony was Sheree's assistant for 3 years, and that he started telling me stuff that I don't think I should know. So then it comes back and Kenya is saying, like, yeah, like, she said that you owe the assistant money and that he has been going back and telling Drew all your personal business. That's what she told Candy. So Sheree's, I think she's playing it down, but she's pissed.
Sheree is pissed, yes, because she doesn't know this Drew, and Drew's already trying to come for her and her free assistant work or whatever. I was looking at something on my phone that I screenshot the other day because I'm in this neighborhood group, you know, on Facebook. And this lady, this is what I think about Drew. Drew, how many assistants does Drew have and why? Can anybody explain to me why? Because I just don't get it. And I feel like she's one of those ladies who just gets people to do things for her to feel important. Yeah. And this lady posted on the group, I'm looking for an assistant. And we're going to need to and from school during the day, which, by the way, is a nanny, right? Dry cleaning. She listed all this stuff. and was like, and plus we'll need you on weekends that we're gone, and this, I mean, basically her whole life. And I was like, this lady's expecting a lot, and you know she's going to pay like $2 an hour. So I clicked on her her page to see what she was like, and I don't want to say her name because you never know, with my luck she'll be out there somewhere. But this is her thing on Facebook. People will throw stones. Don't waste energy throwing them back. Collect them and build an empire.
A stone empire.
Girl.
Girl, it takes more than stones to build an empire.
That's what I thought of with this multiple assistant storyline. I thought of that lady. Like, give me a break.
But also, like, way to lose the metaphor thread. Like, if people are throwing stones, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So collect the stones and build, you would think, a stone house. But no, it's an empire. She's like, no. She's like, so I'm gonna leave the metaphor now and just start something new.
I have a stone empire. So
selling stone set.
So let's see. So yeah, Sheree's pissed off about it. And Sheree's like, well, maybe she needs to worry about her husband. And Kenya's like, yeah, there's a lot of mess in that house. You know, her husband has another assistant that was offering to give him massages, and that assistant was supposed to be fired, but now the assistant's not fired. I mean, there's a lot going on, poor little bun. And Sheree's like, well, she needs to worry about that instead of me.
Yeah, and Kenya's like, well, that's a conversation you need to have with her. And Sheree's like, oh, I will definitely have that conversation with her. I definitely will. Some future episode.
And Sheree adds a noise to the Sheree Noise Hall of Fame. I definitely will be. So then we go over to Drew's house, and the kids are running around and stuff. It's dinner time, and there's this chef over at this gorgeous chef over at the house. Of course, she's a hot woman. And Drew's like, well, you have us eating healthy today. What is that, salmon? And Chef Chastity, which I hope you keep it in this house, ma'am, because you've got Ralph on the loose over there. Yeah. She's just not even looking at you. I like that Chef Chastity isn't thirsty at all. She's just like, eat your fucking salmon, lady who pretends she runs the diet empire. Drew's like shocked to see salmon.
And did you notice there was like some whole ornate kind of like display? It wasn't quite an edible arrangements, but there's like passion fruit slices, and there was like a whole like made for TV display that Drew and Ralph got for their kitchen island, that they were like, "Ooh, we're gonna be on TV and we're gonna be authorities in food, so let's put on a edible arrangement with passion fruit on our kitchen island." I was like, this is not a natural place for this thing. So the food is served, this rosemary crusted salmon with roasted broccolini, and Ralph's like, well, I hope there's not garlic in here, because, you know, it doesn't work with me. And I'm like, and you know, Drew, of course, Drew's like, no, it's only a little bit. And he goes, whoa, this is really good. I'm like, you don't have a garlic intolerance. You're just trying to sell the fact that people who have garlic intolerances will be cool with this shitty food you guys are trying to sell to America.
Oh, really? Because I thought that's just bad salesmanship. Like, wow, I can't wait to buy food from the people who don't use garlic. Sounds delicious.
Well, it's either or, Ronnie. Either one of them is that they are like pulling a con by pretending they have a garlic intolerance, or one of them is that they just don't even know how to market their own food. So nothing is good.
You know, both. And then I love that they're trying to pretend that they have a personal chef when the chef doesn't even know he doesn't like garlic. Like, oh yeah, you must have this every day, huh?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, something is wrong here. Why are we trusting these people to make food for people?
Oh, they're phonies.
Then Ralph was talking about, they're talking about Le Archive, and Ralph was like, yeah, I had a good time at Le Archive. It was great to have somebody there with the same mentality that understands me. Talking about Todd, it's like, what, are you guys both scammers? Is that what it is? Is that why you guys connect?
Well, you know, everyone loves candy, and I love candy, but never been a Todd supporter. I'm team Mama Joyce on Todd. I think Todd is just a user, you know, and we see him working, but then with Candy's show, we've seen like where that goes with Todd not even wanting to go into the restaurant. So we kind of see, and then today is a whole Todd episode where we learn what Todd is exactly up to. Is a whole lot of spending Candy's money, sir. So yeah, when Ralph is saying that he's finally found someone like him to hang out with, you know, not great.
But I think also, like, Ralph is very eager to align himself with someone who has, like, real money. Not saying that Todd owns the money. I mean, that's Candy's money, essentially. But still, I think Ralph is really happy to align himself with them. Like, the power couple of this show, right? So then Drew is like, oh, well, Candy brought up the Instagram of your assistant. And Ralph's like, look, I fired her. Okay, I fired her. And by fired her, I mean I fired up the grill and made her a steak. Okay, so I fired her. What else do you want from me?
Yeah, I no longer pay her for her sexual texts. Yeah. So Drew's like, so you don't talk? He's like, I didn't say we don't talk. I said we don't do business. And she's like, so you do talk. I said we don't do business. And she's like, yeah, he just puts me on tumble dry. Like, he'll confuse me. And I'm like, is it me that's tripping? And that's true. But you know what gets thrown in tumble dry? Wet blankets. Okay? So stop being one. Walk out of there. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, get a new whirlpool. So Ralph is like, he's like, I don't understand that you don't feel comfortable with another woman. I mean, maybe it's because how she looks. And she's like, well, how does she look? And he goes, she's a 50-year-old woman, okay? She was 12 when I was born. She's 12. He's like saying like, oh, well, she's 50. So like the implication is like she's some haggardly old, decrepit, hunchbacked, you know, crone. I'm like, you know who else is 50? Kenya and Cynthia are both in their 50s, for crying out loud. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Welcome to the show you're on, you fucking weirdo. Like, who comes to the Real Housewives world and says that?
I know.
And so she's like, but men date older women all the time. Like, and if you were to find something in my phone where a guy is offering me a massage, you wouldn't like that. And he's like, but that's not the message. That's not the message. And everyone says that the problem is you, you know, because there are so many women around me. And the only one you have a problem with is her.
The problem is that she's sending you messages saying I can come over and give you a massage.
This guy is such shit. I can't believe this guy. And this is only the beginning of their episode, right?
Yeah.
And so she's like, stop trying to make me feel crazy when I have a valid point. You're married to someone with a major problem, okay? The end. Yeah. This is not something you fix. Run. Run the hell away. The man was taping you in your own house.
Yeah, from Tampa. So Drew tells us, you know, people say that Ralph gaslights me, but I don't know if that's necessarily true. So the producer says, well, can you define gaslighting? And she goes, actually, I don't know what it means. So she pulls it up. Of course, we're all rolling her eyes. And she goes, ooh, to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity.
She's like, oh my God.
Who would have thought?
Don't you feel like Bravo purposely put that in to actually teach people what gaslighting is? Because nobody on Bravo knows what gaslighting is. They just say, stop gaslighting me. But nobody really knows what it is. So I was glad that they finally added a definition into the canon.
Yeah, because a lot of people have been using that as a synonym for lying, and it's not the same thing.
Gaslighting.
That's what I was singing. Infamously, the time.
Lisa Rinna dancing around screaming gaslighting when she
gaslighting.
Didn't
know it. So then we get Gaslight, a film by Ralph Pittman, and we see a montage of Ralph gaslighting over the past season and change. Which was just great. Just seeing it all lined up together, just seeing unequivocal evidence of him being a pure gaslighter. It was just hilarious.
And sad, so he's like, you know, I didn't say I'm not going to speak to her. Okay, you know what? Say it. I want you to say it. If you want me to never talk to her again, say it out of your mouth. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. I want you to decide to do it, because then down the road, what if it was the wrong decision? And then you're going to resent me for making the decision for you. Well, yeah, but if he's making the decision because you're, you know, emotionally trying to make him make the decision, he's going to resent you too. This couple's so weird. So he's like, but yeah, but there's a lot I've resented you for anyway. She goes, oh, there's more? And he goes, oh yeah, we can talk about it later. She's like, great.
Wonderful sales pitch for your food, guys. Great. Love that. To be continued. Ralph has resentments. What else is new?
Oh my God.
So now we see flashes of what everyone's doing around town. Marlo's at what appears to be Brooks Brothers or something like that, with her nephew, is going to get her nephew a suit for his homecoming dance. And then we see Kenya making tea, like quote unquote tea with Brooklyn. They're having like a tea party, and Brooklyn's like, I want chocolate tea. And then Sheree is talking to her daughter. Her daughter has a podcast that's like all about sex and stuff, which I'm like, isn't that kind of Candy's area? I mean, it's fine. Two people in the same sort of close-knit circle can have that. But I was sort of like, I think we already have Candy Go to Nights. Terry?
Tierra. So Tierra's like, you know, people get so uptight when you talk about sex. I mean, I didn't even have to say the word sex, and look at your face, Mom. And she's like, well, you said never to listen to it, so I've never listened to it. She goes, yeah, because I talk about polygamy, one night stands, your favorite sexual position. Mm-hmm. And Thelma's like, yeah, I'm not going to be listening to that one. Thanks. She goes, yeah, don't, Grandma, don't. I mean, what are you, 50? Disgusting.
Gross. Grandma.
So then Candy calls her Broadway producer, Brian Moreland, and we hear about her Broadway show that she produced.
Did you say Brian Moylan?
Moreland.
Oh, Moreland. I was like, wait a second.
Wow, Brian Moreland really is everywhere.
God, he really works with some of these housewives. I didn't know he was even producing a Broadway show.
So they talk about her new Broadway show, and they didn't get a good review from the Times, but they did get a good review from the Amsterdam News.
Yeah, so they're talking about it. So I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I would say that, like, for someone who every single season is shilling something, which is like Candy, I think she does like a good job. Like, she, like, her stuff is, it's not like, you know, donkey booty. It's not like, you know, real for real, this imaginary salmon stuff with cream cheese that no one's ever seen out in the wild. Like, she does stuff that, like, when she's shilling it, it's like, oh yeah, oh, I've got to be on a TV show, or oh, I'm gonna have a Broadway show going on. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. All of her businesses are still there, from what I think. I mean, Candy Factory, still there, obviously. Dildo Shop, whatever it's called, still there. The restaurant, still there. Yeah, she actually works.
Mother's Love, maybe that will come back, because I never got to see it.
But it was there for a long time. I mean, it did a lot, that show. It went a lot of places and stuff. So this is called Thoughts of a Colored Man, and it's the first Broadway play that has ever been completely produced, you know, written by, starring, everything by a black cast, a black company or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty incredible. And I looked it up, because I was like, surely that cannot be true. Like, surely that's not true. That's true. It is true. It is absolutely true. So good for them. That's nuts.
Broadway has major issues when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like, major, major issues. So good for Candy for forging forward on that front. You know who's not forging forward on really any fronts? Todd. Actually, no. The one front that he is forging forward on is his front. Okay? Because he comes in all mopey as usual. And, like, he's, like, watching Candy on the phone. Like, So Candy's on cloud nine. She's, like, so happy about this production. And she's been going back and forth to New York and everything. And she's telling Todd, like, you know, like, I'm doing all this stuff. I can't really do it alone. And he's like, well, why are you talking to me like I'm doing something wrong? Why? I'm like, let me guess. Because you probably done something wrong, Todd.
Yeah. Why are you making it sound like you're doing this alone? And she's like, well, you go on multiple vacations a year. And when you're not here, it kind of disrupts the flow. And he's like, yeah, but you leave for months. Like, if I leave for a weekend here and there, but you leave for months, you don't think the flow is disrupted? Todd, the flow is raising children. The children were wanted by you. Candy didn't want to have the children. Candy was like, I've already got a child. Why do I want to have children? You were the one who forced this child. Now, I'm not saying Candy isn't glad she had children, but when this all started, you were the one who insisted on children. And now you're going out of you're going out on vacation every other weekend.
Also, the difference is that Todd is going out on vacations. Candy is going out of town to work. I mean, this is also what happened, I think, two seasons ago, where Candy was, remember she was shooting Lena Waithe, my dear friend, Lena Waithe's TV show. Forget what it was called, but the shy. I called it the chai for a long time, or maybe the chi, but I always say the wrong emphasis. But anyway, Candy was doing that, and Todd was like, oh, but you're always out of town. It's like, because she's shooting a TV show, making money. You literally have a bonus house. A bonus house on your property that has a pool inside of it. That does not come from Candy hanging around.
He's out there spending that money just like Mama. I need Mama Joyce here to just hate on Todd in every episode because this is hard to watch. And Candy's, you know, Candy does a lot with her straw resentment. You know, she does some slurps from the straw while she's rolling her eyes at him. And then when she gets really mad, she starts...
Yeah.
With the straw, which I really like the stabbing of the ice with the straw, which I like. But I really need some more hatred on Todd because Todd deserves it. Like, Todd earns every bit. So she's like, I go for work. Why are you going to Miami? He's like, hanging out. And that's when she's stabbing the ice with her straw. And she's like, yeah, we're not on the same page. And now, you know, everything I do it with Todd. But now that I have this thing without Todd, he's feeling, you know, he's feeling away, I guess. And so Todd's like, well, what are you saying? And she's like, nothing, Todd. Forget it. Okay. But there are things here. The guest house is looking crazy. You know, there's shit everywhere. And he's like, yeah, and the pool house too. So they go look at this indoor pool.
It's depressing. Depressing ass cave. It's always been depressing looking, but now for some reason it's like it's depressing quality just feels magnified. And Todd is so proud of himself because he changed out the tan stonework and put in like black distressed marble, which to me is like a lateral move. Like, I don't see why that looks new or current. It's just this, it's still like a weird ass room with a pool.
Yes. And he's like, but it's current. And of course, Todd likes the part where he can spend the money, which is getting the pool done, but he doesn't like the part where he actually has to do stuff, which is like moving boxes out of there, right? So Candy's like, you know, I guess I am kind of guilty of being one of those people that never finishes the house. And so he's like, well, and then we find the real problem, because this is basically what she's getting at. He's leaving all the time, and he has another place. He apparently has a place in Jersey. So she's like, well, because he says, well, I could take some of this stuff to Jersey too. You know, I mean, there's nothing in there. You saw it, right? And so he tells us, I moved into this condo with my ex, and, you know, we purchased it together, but that didn't work. So I moved out, and she never refinanced and got my name off the condo. So unfortunately, I ended up having to pay it off. So Candy had to pay off your fucking condo with your ex, is what you're saying.
That's what you're saying. Also,
and who moves out of a place that they own and doesn't take their name off of it? What the hell?
That's like, he acts like, oh, he's like this passive person in the world of like real estate deeds. Can't you just, am I crazy? Can't you just like fill out a form and bring it to the notary and get that? You know, I don't think you have to refinance just to get your name changed. Like, it was such a strange response and such an irresponsible response. That's actually the thing that bothered me the most, which is that here's a guy who talks, who's like, he likes to act like he is, you know, Mr. CEO of candy stuff, and he bosses people around, but he just casually has had this, his name on a deed of a house that he doesn't live in with a woman he's no longer in a relationship with. To me, that's just like, way to open yourself up to some sort of liability, okay? Way to open up Candy to a liability. And just irresponsible. So I've had enough. I've had enough.
And she's like, well, I mean, you know, that's your place. And he goes, it's our place. It's our Jersey crib, babe. And she's like, my name's not on that. And he says, well, my name's not on this house. Yeah, but she paid for both, okay? Because you're not telling me that you just happen to have all the money to pay off that house by yourself. Give me a break.
And honestly, I'm sure, like, if he said, hey, I want my name on the deed of this house because I feel like it's ours together. Like, I actually think Candy would be open to that. Mm-mm. I don't think you don't think so?
No. Hell no.
Well, that's
no.
Well, that says something about that relationship. Well, either way, either scenario, this is like the Ralph.
Mama Joyce would be at that door like, Candy.
Like, either way, no way, either avenue is bad. It means that A, the relationship is fucked if Candy doesn't trust her own husband to have his name on the deed. Or the other way around is that he's too lazy to put his name on the deed or something like that. I don't know.
Well, there was the whole prenup plot line, you know, that they had before their wedding and stuff that was causing them all the stress and this and that. And so his way, this is like his passive aggressive thing. Like, well, you have your own stuff, so now I have my own thing, you know. And she's like, yeah, but I don't even have keys to that place. And he's like, you can have keys, whatever. And she's like, yeah, I don't know that I want to stay at a place with his ex, where his ex was. And he's saying, but yeah, but she had exes in this house, you know. Not, she didn't even put the mattress over, he says.
I just think it's all, I think it's just like weird, and I don't, I'm like, I don't know why he's not just selling the place. I mean, he later on, he says, oh, this one, we go to New York, we got a spot, you know, it's on the water, we got a spot. Let me tell you something. If you live in a whole other city and you want to get like a cool spot in New York, so when you're in town, you can have a place to crash. Why do you want to go like to Hoboken or across the like, I feel like you want to have a spot like right in the center of the city, right? This is not to shade Hoboken, okay? Because I know Hoboken is very, very cool, and the Manzos had a restaurant there for a few months.
Listen, but there's meatballs and Blackwater in Hoboken, okay?
the cake boss has a shop there, you know? I've been to Hoboken. I've walked around. I've even seen a movie called The Hoboken Chicken Emergency, which is a real movie. And the plot is the title.
I was like, please don't.
But the point is this. No, Todd, if I'm flying into New York City and I've got to do meetings or I'm going to see a show or whatever, I want to like get right to my apartment right there, like wherever it is.
You know where it is. Where her daughter lives, where Riley lives. Like, are you kidding? You think Candy's not going to stay there or the Four Seasons or whatever? She's not going to go stay in Todd's place in Hoboken. That's Todd's little party. It's his little pride place, you know? And so he feels like he's got a point in this relationship. This relationship. And it's interesting because this is the episode where later Marlo and Candy have a scene about, you know, why aren't we closer? And Candy's like, well, because I basically brought you on the show and then you did nothing but talk shit about me. And we see a clip of Marlo saying, yeah, well, you know what I hear about you? That you're a big mama, that you take care of your men. And that was all those years ago. And, you know, here you are in this situation. So,
yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
By the way, that was a wonderful segue to now Marlo arriving at a photo shoot. It's Candy doing a photo shoot for like a Halloween invitation or something. The caption said, Candy's personal Halloween photo shoot. That's Candy in full-on green paint. Like, this is like a reboot of Kenya's Halloween costume from a few years ago. So she's like fully in green, in like a wig and everything, and prosthetics on her face, like doing these photos. And Marlo comes in, and Marlo's also dressed a little crazy, and she's acting like Candy's looking crazy. So then they sit down to have a conversation, and it's just funny to me because Marlo is dressed in just like regular everyday clothes, or Marlo's version of everyday clothes.
She's wearing a see-through silk.
Not every day. I'm meaning that like they're not like she's not in a costume. And then Candy's sitting there fully green, like, and she's like wiping off, she's taking off random prosthetics, and she's like wiping herself down over the course of the scene, but she's fully green, dressed like a witch, and Marlo is just Marlo. And I was like, there's a gap here. There's some sort of gap going on between these two, how they're presenting.
It's so funny. Marlo's so shady. She drives up and she tells the driver, this area's rough, right? Marlo, shut up and just go inside. Okay. And be nice to the only lady who sends your children money, which you say later in this scene. So they kind of laugh with each other. And then Marlo tells the assistant, can I have a cocktail, please, love, and a napkin? I mean, man, to live like Marlo, that's just how to be. You know, she does that at a bus stop. She'll do it everywhere. And so there, Candy's saying, you know, I love that you're such a good Munty to those kids. And Marlo tells us she's with Candy because she needs advice on being a single mom.
Yeah. And Candy's like, well, I love the way, you know, she was talking about, actually, they start talking about the archive first. And Candy says how she loved how Marlo put everything together. And she's like, you know, I know you're upset with because the other two went and told you everything that we said. But I was just there being like, shit, like, how do you pay for all this? That's all I was doing. Marlo's like, well, just tell them I work at Magic City on Mondays. Just tell them that.
Yeah, I do private dances. My name is Ginger. So then, and Marlo still doesn't answer, which is like another continuing Marlo storyline that I love. Marlo's mystery money. Mm-hmm. And so they start talking about the kids and how she felt so guilty when she got the kids because she felt like she didn't want them to grow up with nothing. And she knows that they were going through so much. And so she was giving too much and she created little monsters. She's like, I mean, I just bought one a $1,200 suit for a homecoming. Mm-hmm. And Candy's like, well, you know, we addressed this in Thoughts of a Colored Man now on Broadway. Get your tickets now. Why? She says, why does being black always equate to struggle? You know, like, what's wrong if your kids have a Mercedes when they go to school? Like, it doesn't make you any less of a worker just because you came up with money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. She's basically like, you can still instill a work ethic and still set them up for greatness, you know? And like, why can't your nephews have nice things, right? Why not? Especially if they're going to a school where people show up in BMWs and everything like that. And Marlo's basically like, well, if I die right now, like, my nephews aren't going to go very far, you know, if mainly because someone has to take care of the archive, so they really can't go literally any farther away because they're entrusted to maintain my legacy.
And she tells Candy, you know, you send out cash on their birthdays and graduations, and you know, I really appreciate that because you're the only one that does that, you know. She goes, but I want more hands-on, Candy. I mean, you've never invited me over for movie night. And Candy, without a beat, without missing a beat, says, you got to be the friend you want, Marlo. Like, come on. Marlo just showing up and being like, why are we better friends?
Which is also so Marlo. She just always like drags people and just says the rudest things. And then is always like, why don't you hang out with me? Why aren't we good friends? So, I mean, so basically, we get like some flashbacks. Candy talks about how Marlo was dating her godbrother initially. And then like when Marlo came into the group, how Marlo basically, like you said earlier, that Marlo is the one saying that Candy is like a sugar mama to guys and stuff. So Candy, you know, she holds a grudge. So, you know, but they basically, Candy's like, well, you haven't invited me over either. Okay. So Marlo's like, come over tonight. Okay. You're welcome anytime.
Candy's like, yeah, I'm green right now.
So. I'm dressed like the Grinch and like Wicked at the same time. So. No.
Yeah. So let's go back and pretend that Drew is a fitness what do you call
guru.
That on Instagram where
oh
where
influencer you,
influencer yes let's pretend that Drew's a fitness influencer. So we go to her backyard. She's doing a workout with a trainer and Anthony, who's there of course trying to give his lines.
Anthony's
bad gay casting.
Yeah, he's like, is sweating like this good for your knees? So then Sonia FaceTimes in and Ralph's like, you should be here. Come on, you should be here. So, you know, Sonia's like, there's no way I'm partaking in your poolside quote unquote workout. Like, I am an Olympian. So I guess I don't remember what Sonia even FaceTimes for. She just FaceTimes and says hi.
Just to confirm a double date for another time. And so Ralph pulls Drew aside after the workout. And he's like, listen, we're going to do something together. It's going to be great. So clear your schedule on this night. And she's like, but don't you think that's putting our issues on the back burner? Yes, Drew. You know, your issue is never fully cooked. If it didn't go on the back burner, no one would ever get fed. Okay?
Yeah.
if that's what back burners are for. Your relationship.
Yes. So speaking of burners, we now go to Todd at Blaze. Get it? Because burning, Blaze, etc. So Todd walks in and then a guy comes running up to him, like almost very much like a musical. Be like, hey, Todd, here are the specials for today. We got
mussels, butter sauce, linguine, pasta. It's like, okay, Candy's already producing the Broadway play. Sorry, you missed your chance on that one.
So Ralph and Ross and Todd sit at the bar and have like a bro moment, you know, and this is sort of like Ross's first like big scene where he's like talking a lot, and he talks a lot. He's actually very talkative because sometimes the husbands on these shows are like, that's cool. Yeah. Awesome. But Ross is in it, you know, and he's like, so I heard you're the man to know. That's the word around town. Basically, so am I going to get free meals now that we're friends? Because I'm ready for free meal.
And Todd's like, so how old are you all? And they're like, 38. He's like, but I'm 48. I mean, I had to schedule a colonoscopy because you know what? I want to live. Thanks for this shrimp. Thanks for the shrimp. It's like, thanks, Todd. Yum. Delicious.
It's like, I'm makes concerned me hungry. About, I'm concerned about prostate cancer, which is why I'm here at a steakhouse. So Ross is like, Ross talking about how he wants another kid, but they're not sure, et cetera. And then Todd is like, that's cool. Hey, so Ralph, I heard about your assistant drama. I had a lot of conversations about the assistant. And even Ross is like, yeah, me too. So Ralph goes, okay, so this is the thing wifey can't let go of, okay? I cannot find a massage therapist. And my assistant called me and was like, Ralph, you need to get your massage. And I was like, yo, I couldn't find one, okay? Well, I just need a massage therapist. That's all, bros.
And Todd's like, yeah, because, you know, massage therapist, it's real hard to find one right now. And then he laughs. And he goes, yeah, because there was a text, and I heard that this lady has a fat ass and a nice body. And Ralph goes, man, it's Atlanta. Everyone has a fat butt, okay?
Well, I think that the text message said, oh, I should give you a massage. And you were like, well, you know, I'm a man. And Ralph goes, yeah, I said, well, no, I said I was a guy. But my thing is more like I'm a man because, like, I didn't solve the problem, you know, because, like, I'm a man. I got to solve the problem, you know. And they're just, like, laughing at him because he's so, like, absurdly full of shit that they just can't do anything but laugh at him.
Yeah, because he's saying that he meant, no, of course I didn't get a massage therapist because I'm a man. You know, like, I'm too stupid, so I didn't take care of that. Instead of, what would you do if I came over? Well, you know, I'm a man. You know, he's so full of shit. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to use that one. I'm a man. You know, you don't like that I didn't finish the pool house, but I'm a man. You don't like that I got my Jersey condo, but I'm a man.
So then Ralph gives us an explanation for the ages. He's in his interview. He goes,
you know, it's hard to explain. Like, it's a matter of you believing exactly what I say. It's more like I should have did it myself, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for you. But then when I was like, I'm a guy. I didn't do it. But same, you know, it's like guys taking medicine. Like, we don't do it sometimes. You know, it's like, you ever seen an alpaca? You know, an alpaca. You're like, is it a llama? Is it an alpaca? And you're like, I'm a guy. It could be a camel. It could be anything. It could be a rabbit. Like, I don't know. It could be all these things. Have you ever gotten a massage from a rabbit? It's like that, you know?
But really, Drew shouldn't be going through my phone to begin with. It's his real his, thing.
Yeah. So he says a whole bunch of bullshit that you get confused by and then comes in with the lasting message.
Well, maybe she just wanted a full body shot of her in her new outfit. So she was going to your camera app. Fucking privacy.
I know.
Asshole.
Talk about surveillance. Now he has issues with surveillance.
Yes. He's suddenly got issues with privacy in a relationship.
Yeah. So then Todd starts talking about the condo issues, and he's like, yeah, I'm trying to convince my wife that when we go to New York, it's a nice spot, you know, but I don't want to get rid of it because I paid for it. I'm like, Todd, do you know how real estate works? You bought this place in whenever it was ago, and sell it. Make a profit. Show that you're a businessman.
Or if he wants to keep it, but he's making it sound like he's doing it for business because he could rent the place out for like $5,000. Okay, but you're not renting it out. You're using it as your like party pad. So, and you know what? Why shouldn't he? Like, I don't even mind. It's just there's so much stuff with Todd that just, you know, you stack it all together. And it's like, Todd.
Yeah, Jesus. I just feel like sometimes the rules don't apply for him. I feel like he comes down on candy for certain things and then not, and then like he does shit. Like he comes down on candy for traveling too much and then he goes off on vacation all the time. And that's not really what this is about, but I'm going to choose to make it part of that.
Well, it is what it's about, I guess, you know. So Ralph is like, well, but why is she mad about that? And Todd says, well, because they don't want you to have your own thing. They just want to have all this shit, which I think pretty much sums up Todd. You know, yeah. It's like you marry someone more successful who's working all the time. Then you say you're not with them for their money. But then all you do is partner up with them on their businesses that, you know, from what we can see from your own shows, you don't do a lot with. And then you resent them for all those businesses. You know, yep. It's like, it's a bad cycle. It's a bad cycle.
It's not good. So now we have Marlo. She's with her nephews because her nephew is going to the homecoming. And so she's also with her husband and wife manager. It's Ty and Justin. They're her managers. I don't know what they are managing quite personally. Maybe they're managing her as a celebrity, but I don't understand, like, is it her business? Is, like, what brand? Still, like, lots of question marks with Marlo, but they're there.
Well, no one knows what Marlo does, so how can we know what they're managing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And basically she like leans on Justin to help with things like male puberty. she's like, yeah, my nephew said something was growing there. And I was like, oh, Justin, help.
So let's see. They talk about homecoming and she shows Michael how to slow dance, which is cute. And then they get him dressed for homecoming and she's like, put him in that Hermes belt. And she talks about how she grew up with a drug addict mom with nothing and she was getting beat all the time. And she actually loved foster care because that was like her safe haven. And she talks about how she only got to go to prom once, but when she did it right. She went to Sheer Essence for her hair. And she's like, and you were the shit if you went to Sheer Essence.
Isn't it? It's interesting that Marlo comes down so hard on Kenya, given that Marlo also has apparently a very fraught relationship with her mom, etc. So anyway, so it's actually a really nice scene. I think that the nephews bring out a really lovely side of Marlo, and I really enjoyed it. So then we go over to Drew's house. And we see Drew, she's wearing something that's like the color of Mountain Dew. It's like, I like to say it was like a figure skating tribute to Tina Turner. It was just, it was like this, like, she looked like she was ready to go out on ice and do like a triple lux to Proud Mary or something.
Yes, it was a very Dancing with the Stars dress. It was really weird. It was super short and then a slit all the way up to the stomach. It was an odd ice skating dress. I put, why God? That's my note.
Yeah, Miss Wygon. So
Brandon, assistant number 3, comes to get her. Why do they have so many assistants? This is some Jen Shaw shit going on over here.
Yeah, because we still don't really fully know what Ralph does, aside from write books about how to be a stepfather to the stepkid that you threatened to leave over.
He's writing in real estate or something, right?
Here, let me. But also technology, I thought. I don't know. Like, I don't know why they need 3 assistants, okay?
Well, his Instagram says Ralph Pittman, public figure. Let's see.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, that's just how Instagram puts it. My least
favorite bio.
Speaker, author, musician, technology and business strategist. And then his cameo. So let's see here. Third assistant Brandon comes over to take her. Andrew's like, oh my God, I knew Ralph was up to something. A red carpet. And Ralph is full on love bombing.
Yeah.
At this point, which anyone who is familiar with emotional abuse knows that this is the cycle.
This is the cycle. You go crazy
and then you love bomb. And I love that. You know, the joke is always like, oh, men do something wrong. And you know they've done something wrong when they bring you roses. He's got a whole rooftop full of roses. So God knows what this guy's done.
I know. And I like Drew's reaction. She goes, you know, I'm pretty hard to surprise. But I knew Ralph was up to something, but I had no idea. I'm like, Drew, don't tell me you're pretty hard. You're probably the person that's easiest to surprise in this entire cast. Let's be honest.
Okay. You don't pay attention to anything. You're the easiest person to surprise. You don't even know the lady's Instagram. You don't even know the Instagram assistant's name.
You are like literally like people have to strap you down if you're going to open up a pop-up book. Okay. Like you lose, like you are naive. So
and she's like, yeah. And you know what? This is what I want to feel in our marriage. I just want to feel like number one. That you there shouldn't be anybody feeling like number one in a marriage. You're the only one.
Yeah. So nothing says being number one than you arrive at what looks like first, like, is this a house? What is this? And they get there and Ralph is there in a suit. And Drew is like, wow, I feel like a princess, a very modern princess who's wearing not a ball gown. But
I feel like a princess on a dancing competition show.
And so, I feel like a princess in Lillehammer 1994.
Ralph is like, when I proposed to her, she felt like a queen. And I wanted her to feel that again in the environment of my boy's shop's rooftop. So
they're at his tailor's showroom. Where all princesses hope that they can have a romantic moment. He's not even at like a women's showroom. He's at his haberdasher. didn't even make sense. And also it's like, you're so, wow, you were too cheap to like rent out a place, so you had to like ask a bunch of your friends. You borrowed a
rooftop. Oh my god,
you had to get to your tailor.
I want her to know that no woman can ever come close to her. I'm like, yeah, you make sure they come when she's not around. That's the problem. That's maybe exactly you it. Should try having them come closer to her.
So, of course, Drew is impressed with all these roses everywhere. And she's like, wow. And Ralph goes, you know, sometimes I can be an asshole. I get it. But I love you. And I want to be the best husband, the best provider, the best father, the best person to watch you from a closer TV, from a remote location, all those things.
She's like, oh, this is what I live for. I mean, you go out of your way to make me feel like I'm the most important thing in the world. I just want to make sure that we go through these high, you know, that we don't go through these high highs and low lows, you know? And then the music's like, arr! She goes, so we can go deeper in our relationship. And he's like, okay, well, I'm annoyed with that, but here it is. Here's my new order for life, okay? Now it goes God, then my wife, then my kids, and then everyone else. Because you know what? For men, we're taught God, then your wife, your family, and then you come in last. And so now, you know.
He said, I'm sorry, Ronnie.
Second to God.
No, Ronnie. He goes, the new order is God, then me, then my wife. He put himself's number. He put himself next to God. He was like, God, me, then my wife. So this is his way of showing that his wife is number one by actually making her number three on the list.
Yes, by moving her down in a list that she doesn't even know about. Like she doesn't. You didn't even have to tell her about this list.
Yeah.
You moved her down on a hypothetical list.
Yes, I mean. And Drew's like, so you think it's that order? He goes, yes. He goes, because I was a pleaser. I can't do that anymore because I was always last. I was always too much of a pleaser. So he's made himself the victim of his own narcissism here. And she goes, well, I don't know if I would say that or I would always be afraid of what I would be. It's funny that you say you're a pleaser because I'd always be scared of your wrath because that wrath is so serious. So now he rolls his eyes in an effort to dissuade her of his wrath. He does something wrathful, which is grunt and roll his eyes.
And she's like, you know, even now I'm walking on eggshells because I don't want to ruin the night. And then the dinner comes out
Wait, can I talk about this dinner?
Yeah.
So this, okay. This dinner made me crazy. So they serve, it's all this stuff comes to the table. They've got these golden chargers on the table. These like ornate chargers, like the things that go under plates. And then the guy comes out and he serves crab rangoon in those little baskets that go for French fries that like they sort of look like shopping baskets, but for fries. And then he serves like lobster, but in like a cake round, and then everything had enormous orange, not wedges, but slices, thick orange slices around it and huge purple flowers on top. It was, I was like, what is Ralph clearly spent all of $10 on this caterer. I'm sorry. I'm like, this guy is so cheap. He put all his money into the flowers.
Well, I think it was a restaurant and they were like, but that's not a restaurant. Where do we heat things up? Like, just put it in cloches. And they're like, well, but it's crab rangoon. It's like, okay, put it in a metal bowl and then put a cloche on it. So it just showed up looking all crazy.
It was just like all these different looks. It was just so, it was just like, it was not like a thoughtful presentation, right? And so it was just like, it was so Ralph, this janky ass meal.
So Drew's like, so you think you were a pleaser? He goes, yes, I'm a pleaser. And she's like, I'm going to eat this food. And so he's like, well, I would prefer this night to enjoy each other's company, and then we can leave everything else to marriage counseling. And she's like, so we shouldn't communicate? And he's like, I set this up with no expectations. So you know what? If you value this, great. If you don't, great. Okay, so you set up a whole night for her to be amazed, you know, and compliment right. you all night. And if it's not going to go that way, then fuck it. Which is the most selfish thing you can do, right? Set up something under the guise of it being for someone else, when really it's just to make you look like a good person, even though you're clearly not one.
Even though you're a total asshole. Although it's also very much like Drew to like, there's just like it's what should be a fun night. She is always going to like just bring up the shit. It's like, can we just have fun tonight? You know, that's not taking away from the fact that Ralph is 100% love bombing her, by the way. They're both awful. So then, Drew's like, she's like, no, I value it. I mean, look, all this, these roses, this, strange crab ragoon from a fast casual restaurant that you found. I mean, this shows that we can make it. And so Ralph then Ralph gets mad. He goes, oh, well, this shows you? This is what shows you? She's like, oh, well, maybe.
I mean, Ralph, she took the kids and left you like a month ago. So why is this a surprise? It's like she just left you without telling you and took the kids. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. Why are we acting surprised, sir?
Yeah. But also, by the way, Drew, how does this show anything? How does this show that you can make it? Because he got some flowers and he has a friend who like rented, let him go out onto his rooftop. This doesn't show anything. This proves nothing.
And she's like, well, maybe I need to hold your hand while I say this. He goes, just talk. Just say it. And he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to schedule a session for you and Dr. Ken where you can learn how to speak to men appropriately to get whatever you're trying to do here across effectively.
Okay. And she's like, what? And then it becomes the Dr. Ken fight, which is Dr. Ken is always, he's always in the background of these shows. And
has Dr. Ken ever truly helped anybody on these shows?
I'm
doubtful.
So Drew is like, he's like, well, and I'll pay for a session for you to learn how to talk to women. And Ralph goes, see, this is what Dr. Ken says. Dr. Ken says you like to do zingers. And Drew's like, oh, so we're talking about what Dr. Ken says? Well, Dr. Ken called you a maniac.
Okay, Dr. Ken, what the fuck? I love that Dr. Ken is like a housewife talking shit about the spouses and their therapy sessions.
Dr. Ken is like, well, by the way, you also know that these two idiots are probably completely like misinterpreting anything that Dr. Ken ever said, right?
Right. Well, or saying it, but just using it in an evil way. I'm sure that Dr. Ken was like, listen, some people communicate differently, Mimi. You know, some people communicate their feelings through zingers or something like that. And he's like, yeah, he said you do zingers. And, you know, I know that him acting like that, putting a camera in your house, then having a fit because you didn't make the toast properly. You know, I know that it's probably the behavior of a maniac, but that maniac is your husband. Or something like that. It's like, well, he called you a maniac.
Yeah. Like they probably just like latched on to a few buzzwords and just like ran with them, you know. So then they get into a maniac fight, a Dr. Ken maniac fight. And Ralph goes, do you even know what the definition of a maniac is? No one who's a maniac is this successful enough to order some crab rangoon on the top of someone else's store. Okay. Have you looked at my wall? I got degrees on my wall. I got the word. Go look up the word maniac. Okay.
He goes, go look at my wall. She goes, okay, I'm going to Google that. I've been really relying on Google this episode. So I'm going to Google maniac. A person exhibiting extreme symptoms of wild behavior, homicidal maniac.
Yeah, but you know what? Here, look at my definition. She's a maniac, oh, whoa, whoa. And she's acting like she's been here before. Is that the second lyric? I actually don't know.
So he's like, you know, marriage counselors, you know, he uses extreme words. Like, that's what they do on the East Coast. Okay. So for you to go.
Oh, those East Coasters with their extreme words.
I think he's on the East Coast, by the way. He's like, for you to go and repeat what he said. And she's, but I did that because you were repeating what he said to me. And he goes, no, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And she's like, you have maniac tendencies. Okay, look, one thing I've learned from watching Lifetime, you don't call maniacs maniacs, okay? They hate that. Yeah. Don't ever call a maniac, okay? That's how they're written about later in the news when they've done something maniacal.
Yeah, it's not a phrase, it's not a descriptor people embrace usually.
Unless don't touch it's like, me. Do not touch me. Do not. You don't even understand what maniac means. It means somebody who's truly unstable. Like you're having a fit on the rooftop of a tailor with a tin of cold rangoon in front of you. Okay?
You are so angry, you're spitting and wilting the edible flowers on your crab rangoon. So.
She's like, well, I'm sorry. He's like, no, you're not. You're not really sorry. Have a good night. And she's like, so if I express myself, we can't have a good night? I mean, then what are we doing then? And he's like, dessert. You want dessert? So she's like, I'm going to cry. I'm going to get up right now. And I'm going to go to cry, but not so far that the cameras aren't there. I'm going to just go a few feet away to cry and watch you not follow me.
Yeah, she goes to... the safest haven she can find, which is crying amongst various mannequins and bow ties and neckties. Literally, she's like, you just see like just like menswear. And so then Ralph is like, this is bullshit. So then he's like, tonight was not for trying to fix anything, huh? Not at all. So now Drew, of course, is wanting more conversation. She's like, I'm just asking for a conversation. He goes, you know what? Sometimes I probably do too much. I probably should not do this, but doing stuff for you is not the move. I regret doing this. I'm not going to do this for you ever again. So then he walks away, and then because it's now his time to walk away, and she sits at the table, and she is going to be like, I'm going to sit at this table, and they're going to get a long shot of me sitting here to use in the trailer. Okay, that's what I'm doing.
But I love that she sits and she's like, I'm going to eat this. Like, there's no way. I mean, he's an asshole, but we did buy the dinner, so I will be eating it.
Yeah, exactly. And
what a piece of shit, man. And also this couple in general, like, ugh, I don't get it. Because, and I mentioned this last week, but it's almost like they watched season one and were like, wow, people really liked our terrible marriage. Let's just really up the ante on that.
Right. You
know? Just make our whole, every scene is going to be about how much our marriage sucks. It just seems icky. They're but just oddly fun to watch, I have to say.
Yeah, hilarious to watch, but they're just like two terrible people. And according to an internet meme I saw today, love bombing and then like removing the love bomb is all part of the manipulation. So when he said basically like, I'm not going to do this for you anymore, that's just all part of it. That's a part of the entire the dynamic that they have, according to a meme. But I believe the meme.
Yeah, I believe in memes. Memes are the new colleges of 2020, you know, of the late 2020s.
Yeah, have you seen my wall?
Not the late 2020s, you know what I'm trying to say.
I've got degrees from so many memes.
Go look at my wall.
Well, thanks, guys, for listening. That was a crazy episode. This is silly. So thanks, everyone. Again, tonight we got Take a Seat on Spotify Live at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and for you East Coasters, there will be extreme words, so, you know, just be ready.
Or we won't do this for you ever again. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She leaves us in stitches, it's Catherine Taylor.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.